Okay, welcome, ladies. Thank you for coming. And I don't know how far you got of the paper I gave you. Well, let's just break the ice, and I'll read a comment or a quote, and you just holler out the answer. Just for fun, with children's literature. Where does it come from? Ran straight away to Mr. McGregor's garden and squeezed under the gate. Peter Rabbit. Plain little Mac did a plain little thing. Do you know what the plain little thing is he did? You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes. You know which? Oh, the places you'll go, but yes, it is Dr. Seuss. I think the next line is, you can steer yourself any direction you choose. They've no imagination. A tail isn't a tail to them. It's a little bit extra at the back. Does anyone know the title of that story? I had to look it up. I wasn't sure. It's the one, Eeyore loses a tail and Pooh finds one. Okay. Where are Old Dan and Little Anne from? Okay, where the red fern grows. And Sarah, Crewe, and Becky? Little Princess. And Wilbur and Fern? Charlotte's Web. And Mabel and Sarah Jane? Grandma's Attic, they're in all of them. And you can go ahead and speak up. Mary Lennox and Colin Craven. Secret Garden. This next one I didn't know till last summer. It's the first time I read these books. Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy. The Chronicles of Narnia. So I guess I caught up on my childhood now that I've read those. And Mary, Laura, and Carrie. The little house books, yeah. Jay, Barry, and Daisy. Summer of the Monkeys. Good, we know the same books. Tom, and I don't know how to say his name. Swen, I'm not sure. Does nobody know?
It's not the Great Brain.
It is the Great Brain. I was like, oh good, maybe I'll introduce you to one new. There's a series called The Great Brain, and Tom is the middle brother, I think, and he swindles all the children in town. Anyway, I enjoy them even at my age yet. And Mr. McGregor, of course, comes from Peter Rabbit. Does anyone know Milo, Talk, and the Humbug? Pardon? Yes, The Phantom Tollbooth. This is my current favorite children's book. If you don't know it, you should find out about it. And Eeyore, of course, from Winnie the Pooh. Hamid or Hamid and Kinza? Star of Light, good. And Peter, Roberta, and Phyllis. We had this on story tape as kids and it was in a British accent. It's the Railway Children. Mm-hmm. And then Luther, Teo, and Bodger. Those are animal names. Incredible Journey. Okay, good. Okay, just for fun, because that's kind of what I want to do today, is just kind of share reading tips on what I do with my class when to build reading skills, but also share books with you and my passion for children's literature. Okay, so I think first of all, to build reading skills in your school children, you need to like enjoy reading yourself or be a passionate reader or work at it. Like, I was a bookworm as a child. I remember my little brother telling mom to make his sisters come play with him. So sometimes mom actually had to hide our books, so we would go do something else. So you have the bookworms and you have the ones that aren't, and it's fine. I have noticed in the last few years that too much screen time and scrolling through stuff, reading things quickly, it's kind of hard to get back to a book and focus and actually read. So I have been purposely choosing to read more. Like I was getting worried about myself. So come in, ladies. We're glad to have you. Another thing that I do lots of at school is reading aloud. One day it just kind of hit me that, you know what, I've been reading aloud to my children pretty much all day. So I read a story for devotions. And then we, with CLE reading, I'm sure lots of you are familiar with that, or you have a reading curriculum, I try really hard to read the stories aloud with them in class. And Bible class, we read the Bible lesson out loud. I always have story time every afternoon. and I've had to discipline myself to stay within my time frame with that. And history. I am very privileged that at my school I have had the Living Threads history from Faith Builders, and it's storybooks that you read to children. That's basically what the curriculum is, and it's so much fun. I love reading out loud to them. So, and be okay with some discussion while you're reading. I know discussion in a multi-grade classroom when you're having class with one grade and you know you need to keep moving can get out of hand, and you can't let it get out of hand, off topic. But what's really neat is when children start, oh, you know what, we did this and this, that, or they connect it to something they already know, something we're reading about. That is gold. When children start realizing the importance of what they are learning, that it actually connects to life and it actually means something. So be okay with a little bit of that. And I don't know, I need to say this carefully, but like build a classroom library. It took me years, and I just moved my classroom library home this summer because I'm not teaching next year. My last count, I don't remember when it was, I think I have over 400 children's books. But that's taken time, and I'm a little crazy over secondhand book shopping, so my children all know that. Every now and then I have too many books, so everybody at school gets a new book, new to them book. In my class. So that's fun. And there were students that were looking forward to moving to my class. The one boy is telling me he wanted his mom to buy whatever book at the secondhand store. She said, or something about Miss Susan has those. And she said, you can wait till you get to her class and then you can read it. So that it was fun. He was excited. And sometimes give children just a little bit of free time to read at school, like the whole class. I do that in, I talked about bell work in my other class. We have this little 5-minute section before our actual starting time where they're doing something quietly in my class, and sometimes I just let them read. Was it just this past year maybe that I bought these cute little pockets that hang over the back of their desks? I think I bought them at Dollar Tree with pockets for this big one and a couple smaller pockets. They kind of didn't last very long, so I took a pattern off and made my own out of denim. But everybody's got their pocket for a storybook right behind their desk, like the storybook they have on the go. So, and I always try to make sure they have cute bookmarks that I just supply them with. So things to just make it like really easy to read. One year, I don't know if I did this much last year, but I had this over the span of time, I had my children choose a children's book and they read it out loud to the class for story time. And I also did some for devotions. I don't know if any of you know the story of Tacky, the penguin that doesn't fit in with the other penguins. He doesn't dance gracefully, he sings off tune, and one of my students read that for devotions, and she must have had it on audio at home because she sang the little songs in it. I was so proud of her, and her dad was telling me later, you know, he thought that was good. Like, that's, she tended to be the clumsy one in her family, and she read this story out loud for devotions, and it was really sweet. She was pretty brave. And another one, one of my boys, for story time, he picked Horton Hears a Who. And I don't know if he had heard it on audio before because he read it in a high-pitched little voice, the whole story. It was hilarious because it's not a short, really short story. Anyway, show pictures while you read if you are reading. If I can find my book now. If you're reading a book that is of this size, a lot of my history, oh, here's my book, it's under here. A lot of my history books had pictures in them, and I would take the time to walk around the class and show them. I have, I don't know, 9 or 10 students. So I'm going to read you a story. We'll just take a break. It's afternoon. I'll read you a story. Hooray for Wadney Wet! And I know I can't get close to you to show you all the pictures, but poor Wadney. Wadney Wet. His real name was Rodney Rat, but he couldn't pronounce his R's. To make matters worse, he was a rodent. A wodent. What's your name, Wadney? Asked the other rodents. Wadney Wet, whispered Wadney. What's another name for bunny? They asked knowingly. Wabbit, he mumbled. And how does a train travel? They winked at each other. A train travels on train tracks, Rodney replied miserably. All of this teasing, day in and day out, made Rodney the shyest rodent in his elementary school. His squeak could barely be heard in class. He gnawed lunch alone. And while the other rodents scurried and scooted about at recess, Rodney hid inside his jacket. Then, one day, as the rodents were taking turns doing wheelies, a new rodent, a very large rodent, barged into the classroom and announced, "My name is Camilla Capybara. I'm bigger than any of you, I'm meaner than any of you, and I'm smarter than any of you." Then she added, "So there." With that, she accidentally, on purpose, elbowed an ear, bumped two noses, stepped on three tails, and lay down on a desk. Fur prickled in fear through the classroom. She sure was bigger than any of them. She looked meaner than any of them. Was she smarter than any of them? "What's 4 plus 4? Asked Miss Fuzzleworth. "Sorry, what's 2 plus 2? Asked Miss Fuzzleworth. "4, shouted Camilla Capybara without even bothering to raise her paw. "And furthermore, 4 plus 4 is 8, 8 plus 8 is 16, and 243 plus 125 is 368. Later, when Miss Fuzzleworth asked, "What's the capital of?" Camilla interrupted, "New York? Albany. Population 295,594. And during science class, in answer to the question, "What part of a plant is below the ground?" Camilla Capybara danced on her desk and sang, "Root, root, rooty toot toot." "Yep," thought all the other rodents. "She's smarter than we are, too." They felt very, very uncomfortable. Every afternoon, just before final recess, Miss Fuzzleworth drew a name from her hat to see who would be the leader for their favorite game, Simon Says. She scrunched her eyes, closed, and jiggled the hat. Would it be Harry Hamster? Mini Feet Mouse? Grizzle Frizz Guinea Pig? Could it be Big, Mean, Smart Camilla Capybara? Miss Fuzzleworth's paw reached in and pulled out the name of Rodney Watt. The bell rang. There was a wild scurry for the door, and Camilla Capybara was the first on the playground, having trampled others in her path. To Rodney, she looked especially scary. What would she do when she heard him speak? Breathe Capybara breath in his face? Or tie him up in his own tail, or even pounce on him? The tiny, trembling leader of the game stood before the eager players, his head well inside his jacket, and squeaked, "Rodney says, weed the sign." While the other students read, "P.S. 142 Elementary School for Rodents," Camilla began pulling up weeds around the sign and flinging them wildly hither and yon till she was clear up to her teeth in dirt. The other rodents began to smile. "Rodney says, whap your paws around your head." He peeked a little peek out of his jacket and saw whap, whap, whappity whap. Camilla was whapping her paws around her head so hard she became dizzy, gave herself a headache, and had to sit down. The other rodents couldn't stop laughing. "Rodney says, play wing around the wozy." Camilla put out her arms like wings and made an airplane noise. But what was a wozy? By now, Rodney's voice was stronger and his head was entirely out of his jacket. Wake the leaves. Nobody moved. "Rodney says, wake the leaves." While Harry, Minifeet, and Grizzle Frizz and the others busied themselves raking, Camilla Capybara grabbed one leaf. "Wake up!" she yelled. She snatched another. "Come on, you! Up, up, up!" And another. "Rise and shine!" And another. "Boo!" By now, all the other rodents were squealing with laughter, all but Camilla, who frowned. "Stupid leaves, they won't wake up. And why was everyone laughing at her? Such bullies." In a voice so strong, he had to hold his own ears, Rodney called, "Rodney says, go west." Rhodes collapsed in a happy heap for a rest. Go west, Camilla Capybara, feeling very smart, that she could tell by directions by the sun, said, "All right, I shall go west." And then she added, "So there." West she stopped, forever. She was gone. And from that day on, the pupils of PS 142 Elementary School for Rodents never teased Wadney again. He was their hero. "Hooray for Wadney Wap," they cried. "Woot woot, wooty toot toot." Anyway, if you find this book, buy this book. It's such a fun one. So that's your story time for today. My next point was to spontaneously, after recess or at the end of the day, read a story to your students. I find a good one, and I'm like, oh, this would be perfect. Like, it's not long enough for a story time book, but I want to read it to them. So sometimes we'll just have story time out of the blue. And by all means, don't buy your books new if you don't have to. Go secondhand book shopping. So just an inspiration. It's a lot of fun. I have the one store I like to browse quite regularly. I haven't been there for a while. And then practically in oral reading class, like if you have students around the table and you're reading out loud, some things I work on is I teach them to keep their hands away from their faces. I don't let them, you know, rest their head on their hand or, yeah, because I'm like, the others need to hear you. Take your hands away from your faces. Keep them down. And I don't make a huge deal out of it. I just remind them. Like, I don't, haven't turned it into a consequence or anything, but just teach them that. And then it seems to work best to have students read paragraph at a time, but vary the order. Have kind of this little thing in your mind. You know that that one and that one and that one have read, and maybe let that one read again before that one does. Just keep them on their toes. The one afternoon in grade 5 science, we were having science class, and another teacher took my 6th grade for science last year. So it was the afternoon, and we were kind of getting sleepy, and one of them was like, "Can we stand up at your stand and read when it's our turn to read in science?" So I let them, and it was fun. The one little girl went to pull the stand up a little because she was taller, and the top came off, so we had to laugh, but it woke us up. We had a good science class that afternoon, so I let them stand at my podium to read. If students are reading out loud and they hesitate a little bit on a new word or they can't find their spot, just wait a little bit, like, not to shame them, but just give them a little bit of time, because don't just always do it for them. Give them a little bit of time to think about it, and usually they'll get it. They'll find it. Another thing that has kind of become really important to me is teach children to read poetry properly. I know it's so easy for poetry to be read in a sing-song, and I know that's how I tend to read it too. The CLE reading curriculum, I think, works a lot at teaching children how to do it properly, to read it by sentence, not by line. Read it by the punctuation. I mean, if adults read poetry in a sing-song, it's probably because they didn't learn when they were young, and I didn't really either, so don't feel bad about that. And teach them that it's a poem. 2 syllables. It's not a poem. Just a little note. Read all the poetry in the readers when you get to it. Read it out loud. Let them read it. Read it to them, and then let them read it. And if you happen to have an illustrated copy of a poem, I don't know how many of you teach CLE language arts, but grade 3 has a whole light unit on poetry, and I think maybe grade 4 has at least part of one with some good poems in it. And I happen to have, because of my mother, a really old set of Childcraft books. I think these are 1961, and they have gorgeous pictures. And it's amazing how many of the poems are from the readers are in this old Childcraft. Now, I can't tell you where to go to get them, but if you find them, get them. Language arts also in penmanship sometimes has poetry. I think this poem comes from, I think it's in one of the language arts books. So after I said that about reading poetry properly, I'm going to attempt. Do you know Uncle Frank, the poem about Uncle Frank? I think it's from grade 4, maybe, language arts. It's just a short one. Oh, and the other thing I think reading teaches, when you read a poem out loud, always say who the author is. This is Uncle Frank by Monica Shannon. "It's queer about my Uncle Frank. He sits and figures in a bank, when he might keep a candy store, a shining sign above the door. Or he might keep a big toy shop with things that fly and skip and hop, with trailer trucks and things that crank, instead of working in a bank. So, there's so many poems I would have enjoyed reading out loud, but I'll limit myself to one today for you. So, don't be scared of poetry. It's not like I just love poetry, like I pick up a book and just sit and read poetry, but I do love children's poetry. And make it fun. Read it out loud. Poetry needs to be read out loud. Oh, the other thing in the CLE language arts, I think there's extra poems in the teacher's book in those light units about poetry. So read those out loud, too. And then have your children read Bible verses and devotions and stuff. And don't let them just kind of lazily read them. I often have my students stand when they read a Bible verse. Read it expressively and respectfully. It's the Bible. I clearly remember, I think it was the first year I went to Bethel Bible School, there's Bible reading and prayer after lunch, and I just remember it's kind of a sleepy time, and somebody stood and read very expressively and loudly, like it almost startled me. And I just was so impressed with those young people that I think had Steve Overholt as a teacher. This is going back, I don't know if it means anything to you. But they read well out loud, especially Bible verses. So work at that. Don't let them be lazy reading Bible verses. I don't have a lot of experience or pointers to help you out with helping children that struggle to learn how to read. But be aware that that can happen. And almost everybody loves a good story. So if they don't like to read, maybe they have a vision problem. And you need to be careful with that, though, because they belong to their parents. Their parents need to make the decision on what to do with them. There's a set of parents I've talked to about one of my students, and kind of just told them a few things I had noticed and things that maybe I thought about, because I don't know much about it. But then you have to leave it with them. Don't push too hard. But maybe their vision checks out fine and their eyes aren't tracking together. No wonder they hate to read. Maybe they need glasses. Maybe they need therapy. The one year I did, I think it was one of the older sisters and one of the boys I had that kind of struggled to read. She bought me a set of sheets of colored overlays. Like they were kind of plastic, but they were colored and you could see the page through them. And I never really experimented long enough to know which color worked best. I would kind of let him pick out his favorite color. But somehow I think the point of it is to take the contrast away from black print on a white paper. And another thing I've done for some of my students that struggle a little bit, we got new desks at our school recently from another school, and the desktops are perfectly flat, which our other ones were a little bit slanted. And I think what kind of inspired me, one of my students, her mother was taking her for vision therapy, and she brought a slant board to school. It stands on the desk, and hers even had a lip at the bottom to keep the pencil from rolling away. I just, at a yard sale, I found like 3 or 4 inch binders, and I just laid them on the flat desktop so it brings up the what they're working on or reading. And it just brings it up a little easier than trying straining or sitting and your page is completely flat in front of you. Might be something you would want to try. Okay, so I don't have a lot of other points, but I do have a table full of secondhand books that are yours today if you want them. So, and I also have a list I compiled of quality children's literature, according to Miss Susan. So, books that I love, books that I have. I have 2 copies of Phantom Tollbooth. This is another I need to talk about, just a few of these. From Anna is a great story about a little girl that struggled in school and her parents didn't realize how she couldn't see well. I think they discovered it when they immigrated and they were doing medical checks, and the doctor was quite frustrated that how poorly she could see and they didn't know it. That's a great story. If you haven't read Charlotte's Web, you should. I have a whole set of the Little House books because I have too many. If you don't know Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, maybe you should check it out. This one, I decided I'm willing to part with this because I already have one, a hat full of Seuss. This has got some, I don't know, maybe some of the not quite so familiar Dr. Seuss stories. And I actually have two, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and somebody was looking at it and didn't know there was a sequel, Pickles to Pittsburgh. So I'm willing for you to buy these from me. So $1 a book, you can take your pick. And I'll lay these papers out. So thank you so much, and enjoy. Sit and share your thoughts about your favorite books, and then class is dismissed whenever.